You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello there. Welcome to this show today, Your Ultimate Life. This is Your Ultimate Life, and I really appreciate you spending this time with me today. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to bring you something really valuable. At least it's valuable to me and it's valuable to lots of folks that I work with. Today, I want to talk about 10 pitfalls of binary thinking. Binary is like ones and zeros. You know, we have computers and that's how they communicate in machine language, ones and zeros. Binary thinking is like right or wrong, up, down, black, white, that sort of thing. Now, before we get started into these 10 pitfalls, I want to talk a little bit about what this ultimate life business is. I had a chance earlier today to meet someone brand new, never met him before. He's a dentist, and he might end up being a guest on the show here one of these days. I don't know. But anyway, he is all about figuring out our why. Why? And his whole company is about helping people. Helping you figure out why you do stuff. Like, I don't know what kind of work you do. You might work in an office. You might be like me. I'm a coach. Sam owns this radio station. And the guy that landscapes, Sam asked me before we started about this picture behind me in Phoenix. And the house that I lived in was right behind me, not behind me, but behind the picture here. Actually, that way in the picture. But there was, this was a very nice, planned neighborhood. And so there were a group of people that came around regularly, and I watched them with amazement as they climbed those palm trees and would trim them and do that sort of thing. And that's what they did. Whatever it is you do for a living, that's just how you earn money. My question is, how about your life? Do you love your life? Do you? Answer that honestly. Is that something you love? Most people don't. Most people, it's okay. You know, it's really good. Would you change some things? Well, there's a lot of things they'd change. So my question for you isn't, is there anything you'd change about your life? Because you can be living happily, even if there are things you want to work on or grow. I live that way all the time. I live that ultimate life. I'm happy every day. That doesn't mean I don't get tired. It doesn't mean things don't break. It doesn't mean things don't go south, you know, and I want them to go north, that kind of thing. That happens. But I love my life every single day, no exceptions, because I create it that way. That doesn't mean there are no problems. That doesn't mean, you know, people don't want more money or more business or better health or anything like that. But we get to make a choice. And this is the foundation. You can love your life even when there's struggles, as well as when there's, I'm stumbling over my words, wins and victories. Wins and victories aren't the only time you can be happy. Happy is a choice. Joy is a choice. Fun is a choice. So I have another friend who's, I was on his podcast a couple of different times, and he's been on here also. He wrote a book. And it's called 52 Mental Toughness Mantras. And I've mentioned him before. His name's Christopher Doris. You ought to get on his email list because he sends really good stuff out every day called Mental Toughness in 30 Seconds or Less. And reach out to me and connect if you want me to give you his information. You can get on his list. Not an advertisement. It's just a friend. Anyway, one of his mental toughness mantras is create the state. Don't wait. Yeah, it rhymes a lot. Create the state. Don't wait. That means the mental state. Create your mental state. A lot of us wait. We get up and we go into the day and we wait to see what the day brings before we decide if it's a good day or a bad day. Nonsense. Create a good day just because you said so. Get amped. Get hyped. Get into the game. That's like sports teams. They get around and they make the circle and, and get all excited. They're creating a state of heightened performance, heightened awareness, heightened, you know, performance by creating the state of camaraderie, of teamwork, of working together towards a common goal. You can do that all by yourself. Now, we're going to do another episode another time about something I call a PTAC, Personal Truth and Commitment Document, but it's an integral piece of what I use to create my daily state. What is my daily state? Purpose, prosperity, joy. purpose, prosperity, and joy. So this fellow I was talking to earlier today, his business is about helping me, you, find your why. Do you know why you do what you do? Oh, I got to eat. Anytime you answer something with, oh, I got to do this, that's a lousy why. It's not very motivating. It means I resent this. I'd rather be doing something else. What if, imagine for a minute, you could live your life where everything that was in front of you today, you looked forward to, like vacation. You looked forward to, like something positive or exciting. Why can't you have that? If your answer is, well, because things don't line up for me. I didn't win the lottery every day. I didn't find my ideal partner every day. I didn't win every day. Then you're looking for externalities to create your life. And man, you are in trouble. Or woman, you are in trouble. You know, it doesn't work where everything around us just happens for our benefit. And it's a good thing too. Can you imagine the chaos if every single person could control everything around them to their own liking? Wow, we would live in a chaotic mess. So since we can't do that, and I'm glad, the alternative is either be miserable and happy once in a while when stuff lines up, or create the state. Don't wait. Be happy because you can. Be happy and look forward to what you have to do today. And if you say, well, I don't have anything fun to do today, that's a decision you made. You filled your calendar. You can love your job or you can hate your job. You can love the work you've chosen if you're an entrepreneur or you have your own business like I do, or you can hate it. Now, I didn't know this. I used to believe, like most people do, that it was all externalities. But it's not, and the truth is none of it is. None, yeah, did you hear me? None of it is. Now, here's an offer for you. If you'd like to learn really the secrets of creating a life that you love every day, then go to this URL on the screen, yourultimatelife.ca. I'm going to move it over here so you can see it better. Yourultimatelife.ca. There is some stuff there, some videos, and they are free in terms of they don't make you put a card in or pay for them, but they're going to cost you a lot of effort and energy. Because if you think you're going to create your dream life by buying some secret sauce that you're going to pour on what you have today and you're going to get a new life, you're nuts. Okay? But you can have it. So the 5 master keys to create your ultimate life are available at that URL. I'll say it again for those that are listening, www.yourultimatelife.ca. Yourultimatelife.ca. There, go there and put your name and email in. If you haven't done that already, then I have to wonder if you're serious about creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, because the things that are there are battle-tested, and they work for anyone, every time, but only always, and only if you do them and dedicate the energy and effort to changing who you're being. One of the things that contributes to this is what I said today's topic was, and that's binary thinking. Binary thinking. Now, here's some examples. If I'm right, you have to be wrong. Or if you're right, I have to be wrong. How many people do you know that live like that? Their only value is when they prove someone else wrong. I'm right. I win. Da, da, da. And so that's binary. If I win, you have to lose. If I'm right, you're wrong. Well, that's can be one way of looking at it, but it's a very limiting way, and it's actually not true. It's not true at all. If I win, you don't have to lose. There is such a world where you can win and I can win. Again, going back to what I said about creating your own happiness, if you live in a world where you have to win and I have to lose, then you're getting your happiness because I'm lower than you and I have less than you, and that's a comparative thing. That is a recipe for disaster. Because there's always going to be somebody that's got more than you do, that's better looking than me or you, that is younger or stronger or whatever that mythical thing is you want, you're always going to find that. You know what that means? That means you're always going to live in the land of suck. You're always going to be feeling less than. That's nonsense. There is opportunity for you to win every day if you're willing to take it. Okay, so one pitfall of binary thinking is the if I win, you lose, or if you win, I lose. That means only a limited number of people can be happy. Only a limited number of people can have abundance. Only a limited number of people. And the reason is, well, abundance doesn't mean anything unless somebody else is suffering. What? So a pitfall is win-lose. One terrible pitfall is thinking that there are only winners and losers. The truth is, this is not a game of basketball. Yeah, in a game of basketball or a game of baseball or sporting events or the Olympics or something, only one person's on the gold medal podium. There may be rare exceptions, you know, where somebody shares it. But there's a winner. There is a top performer. So there are situations when that is exactly how it is. That's exactly right. And I'm not an advocate of giving everybody a participation medal so nobody feels bad. That, I think, is bogus. And the reason is because it pretends that all I have to do is show up and then I deserve the same as someone who put forth a great deal of effort. That's not what I said. Same thing as going to yourultimatelife.ca and getting the 5 master keys. They're not going to turn a key for you and automatically everything's going to line up and be like you want. There's a lot of work involved. You know how I know? Because I have applied in my life these master keys, and I continue to do it every day. The outcome of doing that is I am happy. I am successful. I am joyful every day, no matter what anyone else is doing, because it's my definition and my journey. And you can have that too. You can be happy, joyful, successful, stoked about your life, no matter what anybody else is doing, no matter what is going on around you. And this is a difficult concept for many to accept. And so I'm waxing a little poetic here, and I know that. But I want you to think about this. Let's say something is happening outside that I don't like. In fact, something that I really don't like, that hurt me. Here's my choice. I can stay hurt and be mad or frustrated or feel helpless or angry, whatever negative emotion is happening, as long as that thing is going on. So, for example, I have members of my family. I'm a coach. I write books. When I wrote the book about my own history in life, Tightrope of Depression, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death, to light, love, and life. When I wrote that book, there were members of my family who were angry with me, who didn't like the fact that I wrote it, who took exception to what I'd written in there, whatever, just negative stuff. I was taken off the Christmas card list and kicked out of the good graces of whoever. Doesn't matter. Now, that hurt. Okay, I'm on the outs. Black sheep. Oop, painted over out of the family photograph. That kind of rejection, like really bad. Now, at first, my thought was, I'm ruined, I'm destroyed, I'm wrecked, until they change their mind. Or until I tear it up, take it off of Amazon, burn it, and say, I never wrote that, sorry, oops. That is me giving my ultimate life or my happiness into the hands of someone else. Another choice is for me to get belligerent and say, screw you, I wrote it, and it is like it is, tough, eat rocks and die. Or something like that. Another possible thing is, well, you're just not enlightened. You just don't get it. You're not willing to tell the truth. It really happened, you know, that sort of thing. And that's a possibility too, but that doesn't lead to happiness and joy. It doesn't lead to productivity. Another option is for me to simply say, this was the truth that I experienced and I remember. I love you and allow you to remember, believe, and be any way you want to. And I am full of life, love, and joy anyway. And you don't have the power to take away my love, my light, and my joy. I love that, and that's what I do and did. Finally, I had to learn, because it allows me to be as much light and help and love and, you know, anything I want, and it fully and freely allows someone else to do the same. That's disentangling my happiness from yours or theirs in that case. So that's the first pitfall. If I win, you lose, or if you win, I lose. Now, like I said, there's things like, you know, sports competition where that's true. But in life, in happiness, that's not true. In having the ultimate life, it's not true. Purpose, prosperity, and joy is not true. There is abundance. There's more than enough. Now, one of the reasons I use this beautiful picture, the sunshine in Phoenix and all these beautiful palm trees, is to ask you the question, how much wealth is there in the universe? Well, the answer is obvious. It's infinite. There is an infinite amount of wealth. Now, there isn't an infinite amount of gold that's already been discovered or an infinite amount of money that's printing, although governments in the world seem to be challenging that every day by printing more worthless money and making what's in circulation worth less. Not worthless, not yet, but worth less. But the truth is, as long as the sun is shining and the world is turning as it does, and the natural processes are moving forward, there is infinite creative capability. So there's enough for everyone. You don't have to lose if I win. I don't have to lose if you win. So that's one pitfall. A second pitfall is related, and I mentioned it, and that is the right-wrong thing. Like, if I'm wrong, I have to be wrong in order for you to be right. There's two problems with that. One, if you're making an empirical analysis of a chemical compound, like when I took chemistry in college, one of the things you'd have to do is go in a lab and run some tests and see what elements, what things were in it. Is there chloride in it? Is there nitrate in it? Like those machines at the airport, right? They take a swab off your bag and they can tell if there are nitrates, which are, you know, residue of explosive compounds. Well, there either is or there isn't. Okay, that is a right, wrong thing. There's either nitrates or there's not nitrates. How about, there's another thing. How about I saw an advertisement for a colon cancer test. And I'm not going to say the name because I don't want anybody to get me, you know, in trouble thinking I'm dissing something. I'm not. But right underneath it, it said false positives and false negatives can occur. So there's a place where it can be, boom, right or wrong, only not really. And so taking decisive and apocalyptic action based on something where there's a possibility for error is something we need to be careful about. And that's even in a situation where it matters. You're either sick or you're not sick. You either have the virus or the bacteria or you don't. Okay. But I'm talking more generally in life when you're having relationships. You know, in a scientific analysis, it's one thing. Although in, you know, when you get down to the quantum realm, light is sometimes a particle and sometimes a wave. So that's the duality principle. But we're not going to get lost in quantum physics here. Right and wrong is a standard in a relationship that is really damaging. Think about, if you're married or if you have a partner, you got to be right and they got to be wrong. Somebody's got to grovel, I'm wrong, I apologize, you win. How productive is it to look at things where somebody's right and somebody's wrong? And that's the only way to look at it. Again, what about the viewpoint that says, you're right, and I'm right, and it's okay if those are different. Now, I use the analogy of lenses a lot. Okay, now these lenses are just reading glasses, and they're not very exciting, and they're not very expensive, but they'll do to illustrate the point. If you're listening, I'm putting on a pair of, you know, $3 Amazon reading glasses, okay, and they're 1.75. And when I put these on, things change, right? If they're too far away, they get fuzzy. And if they're close, they get clearer. But the point is, the lenses change what I'm seeing. Your life experience is a lens. Your beliefs are a lens. I use the word be deep. It's a made-up word, BDEEP. Beliefs, definitions, experiences, expectations, perceptions. Your Be Deep is your lens. It is the accumulation of all your life experiences. It's the lens that you look at life through. Someone might look at this picture behind me and think that's beautiful. Oh, I'd love to be in a place where the sky was that blue and pretty. Another person could look at that, especially one who's been in Phoenix or another desert town, Vegas or that area there, and know that this could be representing blistering heat. And it's like, yeah, I don't like too many days of that. This last summer, they set records. And maybe that's because of climate change or whatever, but they set records with how many just bleeding hot days. They count how many days in a row, over 110, I think. And I think last summer they set a new record. So someone could look at this picture and feel completely different about it. Why? Because their lenses, meaning their life experience or their Be Deep, is completely different. So in relationships, any area where you have a relationship with someone of any kind, the idea that someone has to be right or wrong, binary thinking, that is almost always a detriment to deep and meaningful relationships, because the nature of getting along well, productively, harmoniously, is in the art of compromise. It's in the art of working together, collaboration, cooperation, even coopetition. Right? One of the things I talked to that fellow about that I mentioned earlier was we're going to start exploring opportunities for collaboration. What can we do? His business, and he told some amazing stories. Like I said, I might have him as a guest on here one of these days about his own coming to a place where he realized that learning why we are here in the world, why we're breathing air, why we're on the earth, is really important and is the prime motivator to keep us motivated to adding good to the world. Now, those of you that have listened to these a lot know that I use that phrase, add good to the world, all the time. Because, you know, being alive, we breathe, we add carbon dioxide. But have you ever thought about making it your business, whether you're playing or working, whether you're making money or making friends or whatever, to add good to the world, to not be indifferent. Anyway, knowing your why is really important. And so he and I have talked about that collaboration and coopetition, right? And I say it that way, yeah, it's cooperation and competition. But because there's always enough, there is an abundance of energy, of wealth, of love, of possibility, infinite, then there's no such thing, really, as competition, unless you invent it to be so. And that gets me to the third pitfall, and that is scarcity versus abundance. My having a lot of money only matters if I've got more than you. If I can buy, or you can buy, or somebody can buy a bigger car, a bigger house, a better vacation, cooler clothes, first place in line, VIP seats at the concert or at the club or wherever, that somehow that makes a person better. Abundance versus scarcity. There's a limited amount. If I have more, you have less, right? And I have to be poor in order for you to be rich. That's not true. The only world in which that's true is where we're comparing and we're making somebody better. So you have more money, so you're better than me. You get the, you know, the closer the box seats and the, you know, the higher seats at the concert and whatever it is. I mean, in the boxes, not way up in the nosebleed section, right? That's a fallacy. There's danger in that. You know why? We have a society where we act like that. Wealth buys access. So yeah, if you've got a lot of money, you get the best seats at the hockey game or the football game. I said hockey because I live in Canada right now. But whatever, sporting event, concert, whatever venue, you get to have the seats close to the celebrity at the dinners. And right now we're in the middle of this in the U.S., this madness of a political season. And so there's all these fundraising dinners and everybody's showing off. It's funny. I saw an interview the other day at one of the fundraising dinners. Doesn't matter who it was for. A newspaper reporter was asking one of the attendees why they're there, and they couldn't even say. It was just a place to be cool. So abundance versus scarcity is binary thinking. I got more than you, right? That creates competition, which by itself isn't bad, as long as everybody's striving for good. But it also creates hierarchy. I look down at you, or you look down at me, or others look down at both of us because they have more. And more only matters when you've got someone with less. That is a cancer of the heart. And I declare it boldly. I know personally, I know people who wear that more and they're still not happy. They're miserable. And it's a disease of more. And that moves into the fourth hazard of this binary thinking, black and white. And that's more is better and more than you is better. Now, I had number three was scarcity versus abundance, meaning there's only so much versus there's an infinite amount. The fourth pitfall is that if I have more than you, I'm better than you. And that is a disease. It cankers your heart. It's a cancer of the soul. Because that creates the feeling among us that some group of people are better than others. Sometimes we do that with race or culture, but we do it a lot with possessions and wealth, regardless of those other things. That's a disease. It's not true. The truth, you and I, we came from the same creator. We came and are made of the same energetic stuff. Your spirit or soul or whatever you want to call that intelligence in you is just as important as anyone else's, and any and everyone else's is just as important as me or you. The idea that more is better is not true when it comes to people. Now, if you're trying to do fundraising and you're trying to build a new community center, then more is better. So the things that I'm saying here are not absolutes in every situation. It depends, of course, on the goal. And more than anything, you know what it depends on? The attitude, the intent. If I need more so that I can prove my worth to myself or to you or to some measure outside, that's a disease. If I need more of something so I can finish the building or finish the project, that's different. Because I'm building the building or the project for general use. It's like there's a parable, a story in some scripture that talked about a rich guy, and he had a lot of barns, and it was full, and his harvest was plentiful. And then the next year, the harvest was even more plentiful. And the only thing he could think about is, I don't know where I'm going to put all this extra grain or whatever they were growing, corn or grain. He said, I know, I'm going to tear down all my barns and build bigger ones. What a disease. What else? Well, I could take it and give it to people who have less. I could create a storage opportunity for community use. I could alleviate hunger. I could do a lot of things. No, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's the more is better disease. And the story goes on and says, I think it was Jesus telling that story, but he said, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. Yo, dipweed stuff is not king. You're going to die tonight, and all that stuff is not coming with you. More isn't better. The fifth pitfall of binary thinking is that the idea of different versus better, okay? It's a nuance, but it's like you're different, so you're worse. My way's the only way that we make the equality sign between different and bad. If you're not the same, if you don't comport with my thinking, or if someone doesn't comport with your thinking, they're somehow bad. Now, we see this a lot right now, especially in this political mess going on in the United States. Now, my wife, my dear angel wife, Joy, and I call her an angel every time I talk about her. And that's one of my commitments because I love her that much. She is an angel and has played an incredible role in making my life beautiful and wonderful. But anyway, we're both citizens of the United States and Canada. And so we lived in Phoenix, right where this house is, like I said, for a number of years. But for the last 8 years, we've been up here in Canada. And so we're watching with interest the development of the election in the U.S. And besides the election, the polarization of all the people. Right? People hate each other for no reason. And that's because of this disease that says, if you're different, you're wrong. If you're different, you're bad. If you don't think the same way I do and have exactly the same definition of tolerance and inclusion and everything else, you're somehow a disease. And not only should you be silenced, you should be banned and maybe even burned at the stake. That kind of thinking is binary. It means I think my way of thinking is not just good. Everybody believes their own thinking. But it's the only way, and other ways are bad and should be banned and burned. Well, that's a recipe for hate. It's a recipe for divisiveness or divisiveness. It depends on how you say that, right? Ooh, you might get on me for saying divisive versus divisive. Am I wrong? Am I bad? Well, there's something to think about because I can love you, and I do, without meeting you. You can have opinions different than mine, and I absolutely honor your right to think that. Where we need to get off the train is where someone, you, me, or anyone else, thinks that anyone else's way of thinking is somehow bad, wrong, and makes them less than. That's binary thinking. It doesn't allow for anyone else to have a different opinion and have it be okay. So that is another gigantic pitfall of binary, black, white, on, off kind of thinking. The sixth pitfall has to do with skill and talent. Okay? There's only so much talent. Everybody can't be good. And that's absolute nonsense. Every person can be good. In fact, can be outstanding. In fact, can be excellent. Everybody can get an A. If they want to. Now, I'm talking in academic terms, and that doesn't usually happen. But when you think about your ultimate life, which is what I'm talking about here on the show, everybody can have that ultimate life. I dare you to demonstrate to me why that's not true. The only way that's not true is if you create this false idea that if I have more than you, I'm better, or if you're different than me, I'm bad. Only in that kind of comparison. But creating a life where you have purpose, prosperity, and joy in your life is possible for you and me and every person. Now, I've had different conversations about that with lots of people. And as long as there's an openness to the conversation, we always come to the conclusion that it's possible. If we love, if we learn to love, and to support, and to believe in, and to help, and to serve each other, it's really possible to create that ultimate life for yourself and allow others to do the same. It really is. And so that's a primary message, and a pitfall is there's only so much to go around, not of money, but of talent. Like, okay, if you play the piano, and I play the piano, which I do, and maybe you play it better than I do. The idea that because someone is better at the piano, that someone else is bad, well, maybe you play different kinds of music. That's one of the things I love about being in the music business is the just massive diversity of music and the kinds of songs there are, classical music and reggae and EDM and country. And I don't like all those, but I honor them and I acknowledge the talent and skill, bagpipe playing. I saw somebody, I was in a musical group for 7 years that It was very, very, very professional. We performed in a lot of concert halls, and that group has performed and sold out performances at Carnegie Hall and other large venues. And I was in that group for 7 years, and we charted number one on Billboard with some releases of classical music. I'm saying that just because it was very, very, you know, high-powered performing group, right? One of the rehearsals we had, there were some bagpipes that were played and as part of one of the songs. And boy, that was an interesting experience to get those played and played right and to be with the orchestra and with the singers and everything. And that took some talent and skill that I can't even imagine not having done it. So there isn't a limited amount of talent. There isn't. Infinite amount of talent. There's an infinite number of ways to use it, and there's an infinite amount of creativity and ability for us to create purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now that goes into number seven, which is this idea of a pecking order. Pecking order, better than, worse than. Now that's a little bit like what we talked about earlier, but I want to take it in a different direction because there are societies that exist and have existed, where one whole group of people is considered superior to another. In one culture, the word is caste system. But I don't. It's not only that country. There are other places. That's what gave rise to the Holocaust, the genocide in World War II, and in other places that have happened throughout history around the world. One group of people believed they were superior to another group. Ethnic cleansing is the same kind of thing. There is the idea, which is binary thinking, better than, that this group of people is more intelligent, more capable, more worthy of living, more worthy of having more than another. And therefore, they needed to be robbed of their rights or treated poorly or even, you know, killed. I'm not taking sides or making pronouncements in any of the ongoing conflicts in the world right now, because that's not the purpose of this show. But the purpose is to point out that when any group feels they are superior to another group, that creates conflict. It creates sadness. It creates pain. It creates worse: robbery, death, murder, atrocities. And those things do not create anybody's ultimate life. So when anyone decides, well, I'm going to go enforce my betterness by taking or killing or hurting another group of people because I'm better than they are, or I'm more important or more worthy or any of that sort of thing, that doesn't lead to peace. It doesn't lead to prosperity. It doesn't lead to purpose. And we see evidence of that all over the world right now. And that is a sad and painful and terrible thing. You know, one of the things that is true in our world is that because of the European conflict right now, we've had the privilege and blessing of having a Ukrainian family with us for almost 2 years now. And I can't imagine the pain, the struggle, the difficulty that they're going through as they watch this unfold day after day, week after week, month after month in their beloved homeland, because somebody else thought they were worse. They don't deserve to have a place, to have a country, to exist. They deserve instead to be, you know, hurt or enslaved or whatever the story is. And, you know, I realize there are 14 sides to every story and you can tell it differently, but no side of the story justifies the murder and the killing and the cruelty and the torture and the death and the mistreatment of others. No side of any story warrants that kind of thing. So that's up close and personal for that. We got involved in that particular conflict right after the beginning because my wife's maiden name is Bondarenko, and it's a Ukrainian name, and her dad was born in Odessa, and so that was front and center for us. And so it's just an illustration of the hazards, the pitfalls, the pain, the torture, and worse, of this binary thinking. So there's number eight. I've got three more. And I know without even thinking about it, some of these overlap and you're going to be saying they sound the same, and they do and they are. But remember, the genesis of this is a fundamental principle. You and I can both be happy. You and I can both be abundant. You can create your ultimate life right here, right now, and it doesn't depend on things going on around you. When we hand control of our lives over to others, then we're in trouble because we can't control others any more than we control the weather. Number eight is the degree of happiness. Happy only matters if I'm happier than you, right? That's nonsense. We can all be supremely happy, and it doesn't devalue it at all. You're a child of the divine. I don't know what your religion or spirituality level is or isn't. It doesn't matter. You know right now that there are times when you feel connected to the divine. You feel that. You may stuff it down. You may deny it. You may stomp on it. I did that for years and decades. But the truth is, it doesn't, what I think doesn't change the truth of our creation. If I believe I'm only happy when I have more favor, more luck, more possessions, more happiness than you, again, that really is a comment on me. That's saying I'm deriving my value from some imagined superiority in happiness or wealth or some other thing over you. So happiness can be universal. And you might think I'm smoking something, but John Lennon wrote the song, you know, Imagine. I've got a song that talks about the very same thing, that we can all have happiness. Love really is the answer. So I start by saying to you, even though I don't know you, I love you, and you can't stop me. I don't need your permission. We see that demonstrated with hate all the time, so why can't we love people we don't know? Why can't we assume good opportunities? And that doesn't mean things don't need to be corrected or protected or whatever. I'm not ignoring any of that. But if we start from love and opportunity instead of suspicion, greed, and hate, we have a much better chance of creating that ultimate life, not just for you, not just for me, but for as many people as we can touch. The ninth one is something to do with power. When I ask people about power, they default to one of two camps, usually. One is power over, and the other is power to. Now, power over, when people think of power, is like, you know, a monarch, a king, or a captain, or a leader. They have power over someone. I can order them around, tell them what to do. Well, I'm not saying we don't need hierarchies and structures and chains of command in some situations. Not pretending that away. But the idea that creating your ultimate life requires that I have power over someone is not true. Real power is power to cause something to get done. Power to create. Power to lift. Power to bless. Power to serve. Power to love. That is 1,000, 1,000,000, an infinite number of times more effective, more useful, more lasting than power over. History is full of situations where people try to exercise power over others, and they may have had been successful for a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade, and eventually there's a revolt, and there's a lot of sadness and pain and bloodshed and misery and intrigue and murder and on and on and on, and that eventually gets destroyed. And how soon and how bad that happens depends on the degree of power over, the degree of, you know, authority and cruelty and everything else. Power over is not real, lasting power. Power to create, to imagine, to turn imagination into reality. That's real power. Power to lead, power to lift, power to bless. That's real power. Power over may be necessary in some circumstances, but it is temporary, it is fleeting, and it does not generate joy. Power to lift, bless, create, love, serve, that is real power. So when you think about your own thinking, remember, you have power to create your ultimate life. You have power to live in joy. My only question is, are you using it? You know, and I say this kind of stuff, especially when I talk to an audience in a stadium or in an auditorium, you can see some groups of people there. They disagree, and other people are leaning into it. Isn't that funny? The lenses through which we see life either help us understand or fight against these ideas. Fight against these ideas. That fight will always lose. Your creative ability, your ability to create your ultimate life, is not limited by anyone else. It's only limited by the things in your heart, by your lenses, by what you believe is possible. Now, the last thing, the 10th one, is the words love and fear, or love and hate, favor, disfavor, that kind of thing. The opposite of love isn't really hate. The opposite of love is fear. In one hierarchy of emotions, one study placed fear as the emotional state right above death. Fear right above death. One notch above ceasing to exist. Whether you live in fear or not is a choice. Whether you live in love or not is a choice. I already hear people who would be disagreeing saying, well, if someone is attacking or hurting you, there's a reason to be fearful. There is, but that's not happening to most of us most of the time. Yet we still live in fear, fear of lack, fear of not belonging, fear of not being good enough, fear of ridicule, fear of rejection, fear of humiliation, fear of failure, fear of success. All those fears are stories. So the point of today's episode has been to invite you to examine your own thinking. Are you limiting your love? Are you limiting your wealth? Are you limiting your relationship success by using binary either or thinking? Are you limiting it because you have to cling to being right rather than being loving? Are you clinging to fear of failure or fear of ridicule? Are you sabotaging your own success because you're afraid of failure? I say all these things because they have been at different times the defining substance of my own life. And so I raise them now because I want to tell you it is absolutely possible to overcome, to change your thinking, to clean your lenses, to change your heart, to learn to live in love, possibility, opportunity. It is possible to create your state. Don't wait. It is possible to lift, to find your purpose, to live in that. I didn't used to believe it, but I do that every day. And now that I have discovered the path, the only thing I do is work to help every single person I talk to have it. So again, I invite you one more time to go to the URL, www.yourultimatelife.ca. Why? Because I want you to have those five master keys. I'm not going to charge you any money. It will take effort. It will take time. But the payoff is infinite. Imagine a world where your confidence is restored, where your capability is developed, where your joy is full, and every day is as bright and shiny as that blue sky in Phoenix behind me, minus the 120-degree heat. Imagine that. Rather than imagining fear, failure, struggle, or pain, project your heart, your emotion, your love, your energy into a world of creativity, opportunity. Now, I'm not saying put blinders on and be naive, but look at every situation with the question, this is what is? What can I create? Who can I serve? How can I help? What can I do to lift and bless? And you know what I've discovered is the more I learn to bless and lift and serve, the more money I make, the more impact I make, and the happier I am. So I'm not speaking all this as Pollyanna. I own and run a coaching business. My clients are happy. I make good money for good reason. My coaching practice is filled. And it's wonderful. And you know where it comes from? Love, lifting, creativity, service, and working on purpose every day to create purpose, prosperity, and joy for me, for you, and everyone I talk to. In other words, I'm always on the road to creating your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.